The book of Proverbs, chapter number 11. I also want to mention that there was a ring that was lost in church. We've had two of them. One was a smaller one, but we had another one recently. And I think it's a very expensive ring. It looks like silver and diamonds in it. So if it's yours, amen. I'm preaching on filthy lucre this morning. We want you to have it back, okay? So if you lost, this is the type of thing, if somebody loses it, they'll probably be very upset. So we want to get it back to you if it's yours. If it's not, I'm going to sell it and go to Tahiti for a week or something like that. No, but anyhow, remember that if you would. Okay, Proverbs chapter 11. We have worked through about the first 8 or 9 verses, and so we're going to begin with verse number 10 this morning and read through verse 22. And we're talking in our Sunday school lesson about various principles of wisdom, and that's the title of the lesson today, various principles of wisdom. And as you know, and as you can remember, in our study of Proverbs, we've looked at how Proverbs has different principles. Each verse does not necessarily correspond in context with the previous verse. And I've explained how I believe that that happened, how Solomon was judging the people. God inspired him, gave him wisdom. And these were the things of wisdom that he recorded through God's wisdom that he had been given. And so there are various, and we use the word random, principles about wisdom this morning, but we're going to take a look at them this morning and gain some wisdom from the Lord. So let's begin verse number 10 of chapter 11, and follow along as I read. Notice what the Bible says there. It says, "When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh the deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to open it up, to preach it. And Lord, we just pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would penetrate the truths to our mind and our heart this morning. I pray, Lord, this morning for one who may be burdened or troubled. I pray that God, the word of God, would give them the answer for their trouble and their burden today. I pray for that one who's unsaved and that one who does not know Christ as his Savior. I pray today that they would hear the voice of God speaking to their heart today, and they would decide and choose to be saved before it's eternally too late. So blessed to that end this morning. Teach us thy word in this Sunday school hour. We'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wisdom. Various principles of wisdom. That's what we're going to look at this morning. The importance of wisdom. We've gone through several passages, and we're just walking our way through the book of Proverbs here. And we come to chapter 11, we find it's full. It's very wise. And I don't know if you've noticed this about the principles that we've been looking at, but these principles are deeper than just the surface. And I think that's what wisdom's intent is to do. It's to make us understand that true wisdom isn't just a surface type of living. It is a true depth. You understand that there are some important things that are deep in our soul when it comes to living by wisdom. And so here we're going to look at some principles. We're going to look at some principles that are very important and impactful in our world. And so let's begin here. Verse number 10, and let's notice what it says. The Bible says here, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. When the wicked perish, they're shouting. Now, I've written this down about this verse, and I have it as wisdom influences others for good. Wisdom influences others for good. Wisdom has a way here. He says in verse 10, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. You know, most people that are even lost like to have somebody and know somebody with some wisdom. Wisdom is, this may surprise you, but wisdom is not a characteristic that appeals only to the saved. It should. And sad to say, it doesn't appeal to enough saved people today. But wisdom is also an appealing truth and principle to many lost people also. But the difference is when you have Christ guiding your life and you have Christ guiding you all into that wisdom, that the world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have that. The world does not have the wisdom of a righteous man, because only that can come from a saved heart and a yielded heart to God. But when that is in place, when that is in place, there is a influence there. I think of Abraham Lincoln, a godly man. He had a principle in his mind and in his heart that he was going to preserve the unity of the Union. He had that in his mind. And he would go to God and ask God through the treacheries of the war, and he'd pour his heart out to God, excuse me, and he'd say, God, I need your wisdom. I need to know what to do. And you know, it's very amazing because many of the battles of the Civil War that were went through drew Abraham Lincoln to prayer. And prayer is how we get wisdom. We ask it from God. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's a free principle. Amen. If we need it, we can ask God for it. So if we go to God, ask him for wisdom, that wisdom, then it becomes an influence on others. You know what we need in this world more? We need godly leadership. Amen. Because godly leadership has a way of watershedding off on others. Godly leaders. Amen. And that's why I can see down the road the way our nation is going. Wisdom is not a predominant mentality anymore. People want to push wisdom aside when wisdom is what really built this country. But they want to push it aside today and go after selfishness. Just get whatever I want, get whatever I can, and forget about wisdom. I just want to get what I want. When that selfish mentality takes over, a wickedness will take over. Wickedness. And it can happen not just in a country, but in a home. It can happen in anything. Whenever this philosophy, this idea of I don't want to be wise, I just want what I want, That's a dangerous principle. Why? Because wisdom, when people see what somebody that is wise has, this world wants it. But they want the pie, but they don't want the recipe. They want the benefits of being wise, they just don't want to be wise to receive those blessings. And that's the shape of our world today. And I believe one of the reasons is the leadership that we have in our country and in our world today. And it's sad. Amen. And by the way, I think a Christian needs to feel a conviction to vote in this country. Because if we don't feel that, then we've given up on godly leadership. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe every candidate is a godly person, but I believe there are some that are better than others. And I believe we ought to choose the best one who's going to honor God and shun those who are ungodly. Why? Because godliness is a watershed of leadership to everybody. It influences other people. Amen? You can look at a home. Look at a home and see a godly grandmother or a godly grandfather in that home. And it's just amazing how that influence can affect and watershed off on that whole family. But conversely, look at a family where grandma and grandpa are wicked and evil and see what kind of influence that is on that family. So the Bible's teaching us here that wisdom influences others for good. Listen, when you're wise, you not only have the benefits and the blessing of God, but that benefit and blessing of God will also fall on others of influence around you. Amen? Now, the rest of the verse says this. Verse 10, when the wicked perish, they're shouting, hey, he's gone, hallelujah, right? I'm hoping the next election we can shout hallelujah again. Amen? And by the way, it's not just election, but, you know, you go back in time and you look at history of evil rulers like Nero, Africa, Pol Pot, and just dictators that are evil to people. Mussolini, men like that, when they died, everybody was happy about it. I'd hate to be so foolish and live my life so foolishly that when I die, everybody's happy about it. Right? That's a very sad way to live. Amen. And this is an important thing here. And by the way, so this is what's important in a home too, and in our families, that there be godly leaders in that home. Amen. Because what does that do? That's going to shed off. I have received the blessings from my godly mother. I'm not just a product of me. It's a product that God blessed me with through a godly mother. And I'm grateful for that. Amen? Because I could have been born in a evil, ungodly home that didn't know God. You know? I could have been born, and many people are. And that's why they need the gospel. But, you see, the reason God gives us leadership is so that we can have an influence to others and be a good influence to other people. Amen? And that's the blessing in life, is when you live the kind of life where others below you see the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here, wisdom. Wisdom will come off on others. Even in the workplace, a godly man will have a good influence on other people in the workplace. And you know, a godly Christian has to stand for the Lord in the workplace in order for that influence of God to be passed through. And you know, in the workplace, the wicked people do not necessarily like a godly person. They don't necessarily like it, but they do respect it. Most of them. And there's some that don't respect a godly person at all. And nothing you can do about that. But I'll tell you what you can do. Live for God and have a good influence in that workplace. And God will bless that. Okay, so let's move on. Number two, verses 11 and 12. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now, I wrote this down about this principle, is wisdom requires self-control. Wisdom requires self-control. Now, here it talks about a man who he's blessed of God, and the city is exalted, but then a wicked person loses self-control and opens his mouth. You know, they had a saying in World War II, loose lips sink ships. You know? You know, lack of wisdom is the type of thing that when we know something negative, self-control says, I don't think I want to spread that. I don't think I want others to know that. And so it's self-control in our words. Notice, it is verse 11, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. You know, a wise man is going to know what not to say. A wise man's going to know, oh, I got to zip my lip on that. Amen. A wise man will say, okay, I'm not going to, I've got to be good. In other words, what good does it do? What kind of righteousness does it do to spread negativity and evil? You know, I've met folks over the years and Christians over the years that just, man, they love to find out dirt on somebody and spread it. I tell you what. You know what? You know what I like to do with dirt? Throw it in the laundry. Amen. Clean it up. Keep it clean. Amen. You know, wisdom requires self-control in our words. There's some things that just aren't good to say, and then there are some things that are important to say that we don't say, like spreading the gospel, or reaffirming what is right with our own tongue. Sometimes we're slow to do that. And so wisdom teaches us, okay, there's a time to control my tongue and there's a time to open my tongue. Amen? And we have to know that. We have to be bold when it's time to speak, and we have to be wise when it's time to say nothing. Say nothing. We don't have to spread things. And a Christian should not desire to have to spread bad things. Amen? We shouldn't want to do that. What should be the Christian's remedy if they see or hear something bad about somebody? You know what they should do? Go to God and pray for them. Amen. Just pray for them. Amen? And don't look at them with a bad eye when you see them. Amen. Just pray for them. Amen. So their wisdom requires a self-control in our words. What we say, how we say things. You know, it's not just what we say, but it's how we say it. You know, like a boy that was dating. He had a date on his first time, and he was sitting in, it was very hot where they went and had a date, and his dad told him, now son, whatever you do, make sure that you say things in the right way. So he had a statement he was going to say to her. He was going to say, looking at you makes time stand still. but he couldn't quite remember the words, and he couldn't quite exactly remember how to say it. And so all of a sudden he said, looking at you, you have a face that could stop a clock. He said it the wrong way, didn't he? So you not only get in trouble by what you say, but how you say it, right? And you know, hey, listen, I believe in truth, and truth should be straightforward. But sometimes some people like to hurt others with truth. Truth shouldn't be meant to hurt others. Truth should be meant to help others and to bring others to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there is a wisdom that we need in self-control, in our words. Now look at verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. You know, a neighbor is somebody you got to live with, right? How many of you got a good neighbors around you? How many got good neighbors around you? All right, how many of you don't have all good neighbors? I'll put it that way. Okay, all right. Sometimes we got one or two there. And boy, that one, you know, they leave all kinds of stuff all over their yard. And it's a mess. I mean, every person has a neighbor like that, you know. And their junk piles up in the front yard, and you get to drive by it and smell it every time you see it. Anybody have a neighbor like that? Okay, all right, we all have neighbors like that. You know what you're tempted to do? Oh, one day it just gets under your skin, right? And you just want to walk across the street, knock on the door, and say something you shouldn't, right? am I the only person that ever has that temptation? Right? We used to have a neighbor that we built... put on a manufactured house back behind their house on a strip of land, and we put a house there when I was pastoring in Oregon, and put that house there, and it was right behind theirs. And the man would send the dog over to our yard to do his business. Well, that bothered me. Then the kids were little, and they'd go out and play and get all that stuff all over them and bring it into the house. And mama was not happy. Boy, it's easy to want to just go there and... You know, a Christian can handle problems with wisdom. Amen. Do you know that? Amen. You can handle problems with wisdom. If there's self-control involved in wisdom, it can teach us what to say and how to say things in a right way. Amen? You could go to the neighbor and say, hey, I would appreciate if your dog would not come over to the yard. I'd appreciate that. Thank you so much. You know what? I didn't have any trouble with it anymore. Now, that's not how I wanted to handle the situation, right? But I'm going to tell you something. There's a point at which wisdom is important with our neighbor. What the scripture teaches. Amen? So, and by the way, you know, that neighbor, they may be lost. And if we say things in an unchristian way or an ungodly way, they may be turned completely away from Christ. Amen? You never know. And, you know, in this life as a Christian, we're called to endure a few things for Christ's sake. It's not always easy, and we don't always win that battle. But we are called to be a Christian first in our life and in our priority. And I'll tell you what, that'll take a lifelong challenge. Amen? It does. It does. So what we have to do as a Christian is remember that there is wisdom. There is a way to handle others, and there's a way to talk to people. Amen? Amen? And there's a way to deal with our neighbors. And wisdom will teach us that. All right, let's look at verse number 14 now. Verse 14. Where no wisdom is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, I have written down here, wisdom, there's wisdom in counsel. There's wisdom in counsel. All of us run across these situations in life that we don't know exactly what's the best way to handle them. We don't always know the best answer. Often we think we know the best answer, but not always. But there is wisdom in counsel, the scripture teaches. The best counsel you can ever get is the counsel of God's word. You cannot get a better counsel than God's word. And so because of that, here's a principle, is choose godly counsel when you need counsel. Choose somebody who knows the Lord. Choose somebody who knows the Bible. Don't seek counsel from the world. Amen. The world does not have God's answers. And you say, why is it so important that we get God's answers? Because if I have a watch and it gets broke, I'm going to take it to the one who made it. Because the one who made it is the one that knows how it works. And when it's done in accordance to how the one made it, it's going to be fixed right. So whenever we have trouble in life, there are sometimes that we just need to get counsel. It's wise to ask somebody, hey, this is my situation. This is my trouble. What do you think I should do? When you go to somebody that's a wise counselor and a godly person, they often can help us see the thing from a different perspective. They help us see the situation without an emotional attachment. Because oftentimes, the emotional attachment is what keeps us from the wisdom of making the right decision. And so what we have to understand is by going to somebody else, they're detached emotionally, and so they can see a lot clearer in the situation than what we may be seeing. But now, not only that, but he talks about a multitude of counselors. Now, here's what somebody mentioned to me one time. They said, now, Pastor, I went to two different counselors to ask for advice, and they gave me the opposite advice. What should I do? You say, what advice did you give him? I gave him a phone number for another preacher friend. Call him and ask them what to do in that situation. No, here's what I said. I said, continue to get advice. Continue to talk to another person, a godly person. Just run the situation by this person or a godly man, a godly pastor, a godly deacon, whoever that knows the Lord, run the situation by them, see what they do. Oftentimes, they help us clear our mind and give us a good understanding of what to do. And if you get advice that's often conflicted, don't realize that there may be value in understanding both conflicting values. Now, because one may see it one way, and one may see it from another advantage or a different side. But when you have no counsel in your decisions, it could be detrimental to you. And so ultimately, when you get counsel, you have to take the counsel and make the wise decision on your own. Amen. And so after you get counsel, after you've talked to others, and by the way, tell them the whole situation. Amen? If you tell them just a limited amount, they're going to make a decision off of the limited amount. And you may not get the right understanding that you need in the situation. And I realize sometimes a matter may be private, or a matter may not be something you want others to know. But let me tell you something. There are people who are not worried about being embarrassing a person. They're interested in just helping. Amen. And by the way, if somebody ever comes to you and you give them wise counsel, don't go and tell anybody else about what they said.
Amen.
Amen? Just zip it up, because that can only hurt the person trying to work through a difficult situation or problem. See, because if somebody goes to somebody and asks them for counsel, obviously they have a genuine heart and want to know the right answer, or at least see it. And give it to them from either experience that you've had in life, a principle that you learned, or maybe a trial. God taught you a lesson through. Because see, we're not here on this globe just to live our life. We're here to be a help to others and encouragement to other people. And so there's wisdom and counsel. Choose godly counsels. And here's a point about this. What the verse is trying to teach us is that failures can often be avoided by counsel. Failures. I'll never forget when I was in Bible college. I just graduated and I needed a car. And I was driving I had a 79 Pontiac Bonneville. Big car, amen? And I liked it. It had a sunroof on it, and it leaked whenever it rained. And when we got married, I drove that car. I'd worn it out. It rained, and Brother Murphy threw a pile of bird seed in my car right as we were taking off for our honeymoon. He emptied out a whole bag of bird seed. Thank you, Brother Murphy. Amen. I keep reminding him about that. And he doesn't feel bad about it at all. He just laughs. He just laughs. And that sunroof would leak, and the water would go into the back seat where the bird seed was. And I had sprouts growing back there, 6-8 inches tall in the back seat when I finally realized it. So, but anyway, we needed a new car. And I called my dad to get counsel. I was working a deal on a car. And I may be strange. This may be strange to you, but I think it's fun to go in a wheel and deal for a car. I like it. I take my time. I work them over. Try as much manipulation as possible. No, I'm kidding. Amen. But I don't mind that at all. Sometimes I'll take up to a week and just see how low they'll go. Anyway, that's to the side point. But I needed a car, and I'd work on it and tried to work on this guy. Walked out the door, you know. You always got to walk out the door if you're going to buy a car. Good advice. Walk out the door first. Amen. But anyhow, I called my dad. I said, Dad, this is the car I want to buy, and this is what I'm thinking. This is what the payments are going to be, and this is how much money I got down. And, you know, just lining that all out with him. And you know what he said? He said, well, you know, we were thinking of giving you our car. It was the same car and model that we were going to buy, only it was light blue, and the one I was interested in buying was dark blue. I'm glad I asked for counsel that day. Amen? Because my payments were really low. They were zero at that time. And I tell you, it was a time in my life when I just needed to know something about it, because I'd never bought a car like that before, and I needed to know how to do it. And my dad had done it, and through that, I was blessed. Now, I say that simply to say not every time you're going to save tons of money by having counsel, but I will tell you this, in a multitude of counselors, you're going to get an understanding that you would not normally have had you not gone to other counselors. Amen. And always choose godly counsel. Amen. Always choose godly counsel. Worldly counsel will result in worldly results. So be wise. Be wise. Don't go on the internet for every advice. Amen. You know, but sometimes it's good to just learn about something before you make a decision. And I think that's wisdom in our life. Okay. So there's wisdom and counselor. Failures can often be avoided by counsel. You know what? None of us have the inroad on all wisdom. None of us. None of us are wise about every decision. And so there are times when we need to ask somebody else who may be down that road. And we can't let pride stop us from doing that. Well, I think I know the right answer. You know what? Maybe you do. And maybe in the end, that answer is the answer you go with. But you are certainly much wiser in the end by getting counsel from others. And the counsel given should not be selfish counsel. It should be counsel that's given totally to benefit the Lord Jesus Christ and benefit and be a blessing to that person who asked for advice. And the motives for the counselor ought to be totally pure. Amen. And totally good. Otherwise, we get off track. Okay, let's move on. Verse 17. I like this principle. Verse 17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Now, there is a wisdom in how we treat other people. There's a wisdom in how others, if we treat others, notice it says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. Now, obviously, this is a man to whom somebody has either hurt him or done something wrong to him or something he didn't like. And so he has to demonstrate this godly principle. If he's going to be godly, he has to be merciful. Now, being merciful is not weakness. Try it if you think it's weakness. Right? Try being merciful if you think it's weakness. But mercy is understanding a spiritual principle. And that spiritual principle is that God demonstrated his mercy and his goodness to me. And if God demonstrated his goodness and his mercy to me, then I ought to be merciful to other people also. Now, I'm not saying let people walk all over you. I'm not saying you're a rug and a doormat and people just walk and trample all over. That I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that there are times when we are legitimately done wrong or legitimately hurt. And we have to be the one to not choose bitterness. Amen. See, bitterness is a choice. Bitterness is a choice. You can decide how you're going to react when you get hurt or when somebody does you wrong. You have the control to either be bitter or to be merciful. May I tell you what? The merciful man does his own soul good. Amen? I've seen people that hold grudges all their life. Well, back in 1972, you remember what you did to me? I can't even think of 1972. No, listen. Even others that hurt you, give them short accounts. Amen. Don't live with the bitterness. Let it go. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them. That'll keep you from getting bitter. Amen. But the merciful man, listen, there's wisdom in this principle. And notice what Scripture says. There's wisdom in it. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. See, bitterness creates cruelty. A lot of people get cruel, but there's a root cause of that usually. And usually it's bitterness. They were hurt, they're angry, or somebody did them wrong, whatever. And because of that, they got bitter. And bitter people are very cruel. Cruel people. And so a Christian has got to be wise in the beginning. You know, I'm reminded that bitterness, I think it's in the book of Philippians, it said, beware lest any root of bitterness springing up. You know, bitterness has a root. It's like a dandelion. You can pull that dandelion out, but if you don't get the root, that dandelion's coming back, right? You got to get to the root. And the root of many times of how people are is this root of bitterness that rests in them. And boy, they're holding on to that grudge and holding on to that thing that somebody did to them. Can I tell you what? It is not worth it to your own soul, your own peace, your own happiness. Amen? Let it go. Be merciful. You say, well, they did me wrong. They did Jesus wrong. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So to be Christ-like, we have to be merciful as Jesus did. Even as God, Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, I can forgive others because I've been forgiven by God. Amen? And that's the platform of forgiveness, is to understand what we've been forgiven by God. All right, so there's wisdom in how we treat others. And so he's saying here, and really the wisdom is that how we treat others is dependent upon how we are in our own soul, in our own life. What's going on in our heart? That's the litmus test of how we treat others. That's the real way to know how to treat others. And it's wise to be merciful. It's a wise thing. Now, you know, I don't think it means that you always enjoy being mistreated. I don't think that's what the principle is. But you have to do something with mistreatment, right? What do you have to do with it? You have to forgive. You have forgiven. Go on, let it go, so that I'm not pickled in my own bitterness. Amen? And so wisdom, a lot of wisdom in forgiveness in life. All right, let's go on. Verse number 18. Now let's go to verse 22. Verse 22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now, picture a hog there, and he's got a gold ring in his nose. Now, is that hog, the first question you ask is, why has a hog got gold? Right? Why has a hog got a beautiful gold ring in his nose? He ain't going to take care of it. There's just something odd about it. Right? He's just going to rub it in the dirt, and pick up slop, and... In other words, it's the wrong place to put gold on a swine's nose, right? Yeah. So now he's saying, okay, and he compares that to a fair woman or a beautiful woman without discretion. She has no discretion. She's not. She may look pretty on the outside, shows no discretion, no wisdom. Often she may blurt out whatever's at the top of her head, say things in an unwise way, or mistreat people. She may be beautiful on the outside, but there's something inappropriate about it, like putting gold on a pig's snout. And by the way, I appreciate how the Bible often compares things and gives us a good understanding of how things are, and gives us an illustration like gold in a pig's snout to describe somebody who may be beautiful but yet has no discretion. So here's the point. The point is that if we're going to live wisely in life, we ought to be discreet in everything we do. And discretion and appropriateness are brothers. Discretion and appropriateness are brothers. And, You know, I know some people that are totally inappropriate about how they dress, how they act, how they talk. There's not an appropriateness there. There's not a, and it's because there's not a discretion there. You know? And I think we ought to be discreet. I think we ought to be smart and wise about how we talk. In inappropriateness. You know, I don't wear my church clothes to a ball game. I don't wear my church clothes to a ball game. But I don't wear my ball game clothes to church either. Amen? I think there's an appropriateness. And a Christian ought to be wise about this. This is a wisdom thing in how you dress, how you act, how you do things, and live life. I want to always portray and never give a misleading thought in somebody's mind that I'm a Christian. I want that to be prevalent in my life. Because, you know, you can't witness to everybody, but at least the testimony of how you live as you pass by others in life can be a blessing. You know, so I'm saying that, and I think the principle here is that if we're discreet, and if we learn discretion and appropriateness at the right time, in the right place, in the right way, then we will be well and do good. I think there ought to be a discretion between a male and a female. There's a discretion there. Amen? And even in the workplace, there's a discretion between men and women. If there's no discretion, it, God says it's like gold in a pig's snout. And I've known people over the years that had very little discretion. And somebody came up and brought up a subject. A lady brought up a very personal subject. And I felt embarrassed. But I'll tell you what, on the part of that other person, they were not showing the appropriate discretion. And so we have to understand, a man talking to a lady, even especially a husband and a wife, there should be a discretion involved there. And what is that? It's wisdom. That's wisdom. So the world wants to throw out wisdom, but God says, keep it in. Keep wisdom in your mind. Keep wisdom in your heart, and don't allow it to separate and divide. Amen? All right, well, we're going to stop there this morning, and let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us your lesson this morning, God. And I just pray you'll bless the upcoming church hour, Lord, and meet the need.